they may hear, ladies and gentlemen. And now, once again, Fräulein Sally Bolz.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
Author Keith Garabian writes, when I asked Harold Prince in a letter whether the musical Cabaret could generate future radically innovative interpretations, he replied, you bet there will be. It invites that kind of invention. But I take great pride in knowing that our version was the first. His response also acknowledged that Cabaret has a life of its own. Its genesis was in my office with Kander and Ev and Joe Masteroff, and our version clearly led the way to all the subsequent interpretations. When the show first appeared on Broadway, it represented a new musical form because it began with concept and libretto rather than score, and because of its provocative subjects. Emma Brox maintains that Cabaret turns the traditional morality of the musical on its head because the people who pine about the future are the Hitler Youth, whose song Tomorrow Belongs to Me is a Nazi anthem that shows how we are all, to some extent, self-deceiving. It is merely a question of which deceptions we choose to sign up to. Prince's original Broadway production brought Nazism into the foreground and literally turned a mirror over audiences to show them their own features and to ask them what they would have done in place of the characters on stage. In other words, it dramatized the metaphor that was central to the production and invoked German icons Bertolt Brecht, Kurt Weill, and others. And so, what will the future bring to Cabaret? Or perhaps, to phrase it in a more intriguing way, what will Cabaret bring to the future? As with classic plays, every era can influence the way in which a story is told and the way in which its main characters are delineated. There is, for example, a different Hamlet for every generation, perhaps for every nation. An English Hamlet or an Italian one would be temperamentally different from a German or Russian one, just as a Victorian Hamlet would differ radically from a 20th or 21st century one. But the options are rather less for characters in a musical, perhaps because of the libretto and score permit less experimentation. It seems that we have already had the full gamut of possibilities for Sally or Cliff or the MC. So the question becomes, what other ways are there to stage this musical? That from the study, The Making of Cabaret by Keith Garabian. And now, at the Little Theatre of Wilkes-Barre, they are asking what does Cabaret have to say to us in 2017 as they prepare a production which opens September 8th and runs 3 weekends. The show is directed by Laurie Colasito, who has worked a number of times at Little Theatre, but who is now commuting to and from her home in the Lehigh Valley because of the power of this piece. Laurie Colasito paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Cabaret and her sense of the show in our day.
I saw the movie when I was very, very little. My mother was a big fan of Liza Minnelli and Joel Grey, and so I remember seeing it when I was probably too young to understand what it really was about. And when I heard that they were doing it for their season, I thought that, number one, it would be a good challenge for me. It's unlike any show that I've directed before. And number two, I feel like the show itself, especially in today's political climate, is so relevant, especially now, especially in 2017. Maybe even 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been. But I think considering what's going on in today's world, that it just, there just has a resonance about it that I felt this was a great opportunity to get involved with such an important show.
Can you give us a little background?
I know in 1966, it opened on Broadway. And several years later, they made the movie. I believe it was 1972. They made the movie with Joel Grey and Liza Minnelli. The revival on Broadway opened in 87, and that was also starring Joel Grey. it wasn't until, I believe, 98 is when there were some productions leading up to 98. But 98, they did a revival, and that featured Alan Cumming. And there's going to be generations that remember the Joel Grey version, and newer generations of theater goers will know it more for the Alan Cumming version. And that's the version that we are doing. We are doing the 98 revival. And more recently, they did it on Broadway in 2014, starring Alan Cumming and Natasha Richardson. So we're doing that version, and that's the first time in northeastern Pennsylvania that the revival has been produced. So we're really excited to show a different version that maybe people haven't seen. It's definitely a stripped down version than maybe what people are used to. The set stripped down, the costumes are very stripped down, and it's definitely a raw version of the show. I think having basically a bare bones set, our set designers are actually designing it to look like a warehouse, of a very gritty warehouse, because the Kit Kat Club, where it takes place, is not necessarily a pleasant place to be. And Ayanna Groover and Mike Bobjenik, they're our set designers, and they're really trying to make this space unique. And we want people to come into the theater and really feel like they're there. In fact, we have decided to do onstage seating for the first time. I believe it's the first time at Little Theater history, but I could be wrong. But we're going to have special cabaret seating for 12 people. And they're going to get complimentary wine, and they're going to feel like they're a part of the show.
To prepare for taking on a show like this, what kind of research did you do?
I did a lot of research just going back to the time. It takes place in the early 1930s, before the Nazis took over. So I know we're so used to seeing movies and even stage productions where it's in the middle of it, or it's post-war. And now it's interesting to see these characters come in before they really know what's going on. There's a lot of people being naive about what's to come. I knew a little bit more about what happened during the war. And so that was sort of the challenge, is to do some reading about what was leading up to the Nazi takeover and where these people were in their mindset. And I think as an audience, seeing especially the character of Ernst Ludwig, where, you know, it is revealed later that he is in the Nazi party, that we automatically think that, okay, here's the villain of the story. But I think because we as an audience know all the horror that's about to happen, it's easy to judge that and to see that, you know, maybe he was wrapped up in it just like everybody else, and he had decisions to make without having all the knowledge that the audience has. And it's just interesting to see the different characters, besides the MC, which is sort of in his own time. He kind of comes out of the whole story and tells the story. But the six main characters that all have these decisions to make about where they want to be in the right or wrong side of history. And it's interesting to see the audience kind of take sides as to which person that they could relate to the most.
Not being able to know the history that we know, how have you been working with actors to kind of have that?
We've just been having a lot of dialogue. And again, especially because of what just happened recently in Charlottesville, it's really on everyone's mind. The Nazi symbol still being displayed, you know, decades after all of this horror. And so it's just a really fresh dialogue that we're having with the actors. And we seem to be talking about it quite a bit during rehearsals, because it's in the news every day, and it's unavoidable. And I think talking to them about the different layers of their character, and how it's not just black and white, and how everyone has these decisions that they had to make. I think with the six characters, they all seem to be handling the rise of the Nazi party in different ways. And I think Sally especially puts blinders on and wants to live this glamorous life of partying and going from man to man. And she finally meets Cliff Bradshaw, who's an American, and sees a better life for herself. But when he basically brings her into the light and said, this is what's going on, and he says to her, if you're not against this, then you're for it. And she said she still lives in this world where it has nothing to do with me. And I think that that's that denial is where a lot of people stand when they look at it on television and they say, well, I don't live in Virginia, or I'm not African American, or I'm not Jewish, and they don't want to say anything. And I think Sally represents that part of, you know, maybe all of us that try to turn a blind eye and pretend that it doesn't exist. And out of all of the characters, Cliff is really the only one to call it out and to try to wake everyone up. And you know, I think there could be something to say about the way he handles it. He leaves. And is that the right decision? There's really not much else he can do, and he has to leave. And I think the other thing that's interesting and sort of reminds me of sort of the times that we're living in now is that all of these people wanted a better life for themselves and were promised that by a leader. And they didn't know in 1931 what was going to happen in the years to come and what the horror that was going to follow. But they were poor. There was a lot of poverty going on, and they were so desperate to hear anything, and they just followed. And I think there's a scene at the end of Act One where they are singing the German anthem, and it's this beautiful song, poetic song, and you feel in the beginning, you feel almost patriotic, and then it just starts to sound, it begins to sound awful and almost haunting at how passionate that these people were to get behind something, anything. And he came at the right time. Hitler came at the right time.
And the music is a perfect embodiment mm-hmm. of that. What about the music?
A lot of the songs are, and it's interesting because I think I talked briefly about the MC and how I look at him as the storyteller, because he never has any one-on-one scenes with anybody. He never comes out of the Kit Kat Club, but he drives the story from the beginning to the very end, which I won't talk about. And his songs especially have this, they're upbeat. They almost take you out of what's going on, which is really what some of the characters are doing. And he is the one to take us out of that. And he says, there's no trouble here in the very beginning. We have no troubles here. And he uses that line at the end when you in fact know there are troubles. And it's just interesting that he just ties the entire show together. And there's a lot of moments where he steps out of the cabaret and into these scenes. And in the revival, there are a lot of moments, and I've actually added a few, where he's coming into the scene and sort of breaking it up. And his commentary of what's going on is then the next song that reflects the scene before it. And it's just a really fascinating way that they've written the story. And without him, if you take him out of the story, there's no cohesion. And Jonathan Wallace plays the MC, and his performance is both touching and haunting through the whole thing. And I would like to mention Sally Bowles is played by Kate McDonald, and this is the first time that she's been on the Little Theater stage. So we were really excited to have her in a lead. And Ben Steltz is playing Cliff Bradshaw, and he has been on the Little Theater stage before. And we also have his mother, Karen Steltz, is playing Fräulein Schneider. And Felix Wauer is Schultz. Amanda Reese is playing Fräulein Kost. And Mike Vovzhenik is playing Ernst.
And your music director?
My music director is Aaron Eldred. He is a college student who actually did a lot of KISS theater in the area, and I've actually directed him in Spring Awakening 2 years ago, and he's a tremendous talent musically and also acting wise too.
And Little Theater has been known for caring about living, breathing musicians. Will you have a kind of a cabaret orchestra?
We have at least 8 people playing in the pit, and he's assembled probably the finest group of musicians in the area. And we have Maureen Hazempa is my talented choreographer, and Jimmy Williams, who is no stranger to the Little Theater stage and has also done some costuming for me before. He is my costumer.
You said this was a piece unlike one you've done before. So what are some of the directorial challenges?
I'd say that the challenges have just been honoring the book and the music while also keeping it fresh and trying to, I always, in any show that I've directed, I've always tried to have something that was different. And I didn't want to make this too different. I didn't want to change anything, but there are a little bit of touches that I've added that even if you've seen the recent tour, is going to be different than what they've seen. Towards the end of Act One, you really start to see the dark turn that's coming. I think what's interesting is there's a song that a lot of people are familiar with is Money. And in Cabaret the movie, with Joel Grey and Liza Minnelli, it's a very upbeat vaudeville type number. And what I really love about the revival is it's much darker sounding, and we portray it very dark with the choreography. And it follows a scene that if you take the scene for what it is, you may not see it as being dark, but there's a moment at the end, and this is when Ernst is in the Nazi party, unbeknownst to Cliff, who's agreed to help him carry money across the border. And they're sort of celebrating because Cliff is a struggling writer. He and Sally are living together and basically have no money. And here's an opportunity to get easy money. Basically, he just has to go to Paris and come back with a suitcase. And money follows that. And it's dark. It's very dark, and I really like how the revival made that not just this cutesy vaudeville number.
What about gender considerations? We know there was a lot of liquidity in the Weimar Republic in terms of experimentation and different ways and mores and things like that. Do we get a sense of that in the show?
Oh, absolutely. The MC, again, played by Jonathan Wallace, you know, it's a little bit different than the Joel Grey interpretation where Joel Grey was in a full tuxedo and top hat, but he still had the makeup. And Jonathan is very much, I wouldn't say he's genderless. I'd say more gender fluid. He's masculine but feminine at the same time. There's a song, a fun song called Two Ladies, and he talks about his roommates. And in the original movie, it was two women. And in the revival, they had a woman and then a man dressed as a woman, and that's what we're doing. So there's a lot of sexuality between him and the females in the Kit Kat Club, the males in the Kit Kat Club. Obviously, sexuality is also a theme in the show because of Cliff's sexuality is possibly bisexual since he is in a relationship with Sally, but has also been with men. And back then they were persecuting, the Nazis were persecuting homosexuals. And the characters at this point don't know that, but there's a lot of hidden homosexuality going on. That's what we have going on today. I mean, back then they wanted to blame their poverty and the moral decay on any outsider. Nowadays it's a different group maybe who are being persecuted, but it's the same persecution of hatred and saying they're to blame. Really easy to point the finger and blame somebody else.
You're not opening yet, but this is something that you're very glad you've signed on to.
I was happy the day I found out, and it hasn't changed. We opened September 8th, and I would say probably about even 2 weeks ago, I knew this was going to be something remarkable. And the cast and the crew have just made this whole process memorable. And I think this is going to be one people don't want to miss. Absolutely.
Here, life is beautiful. The girls are beautiful. Even the orchestra is beautiful.
Director Lore Colasito speaking with us about the musical Cabaret at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, opening September 8th and running through September 24th at the theater, 537 North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. So that's Friday and Saturday the 8th and 9th at 8 p.m., Sunday the 10th at 3, and then that continues the following weekend, the weekend of the 15th and 16th and 17th, and then the final weekend, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3, Cabaret at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, 537 North Main Street, and for more information on the web, ltwb.org, ltwb.org. And Lori reminded us that there are 12 cabaret on-stage seats available. And for more information about how to get your tickets for the stage seating, also online, ltwb.org, ltwb.org. That's Cabaret at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, 537 North Main Street, September 8th through the 24th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3, ltwb.org, ltwb.org.
I made my mind up back in Chelsea. When I go, I'm going like Elsie. From cradle to tomb, isn't that long?
Auf Wiedersehen, a bientôt, good night.